That's brand new from the band Kalakos, Austin Chill. New album's called Racing Towards Extinction, new here on WRCT 88.3 FM. I'm your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. And thank you so much for tuning in. I say this every week. This show would not be possible without you, your great requests, and making it what it is, and pumping me up to come back to the station every week. You know, if you miss any part of tonight's show, you can catch a replay Sunday nights at 11 right here on 88.3 FM. That set of music started off with our guilty pleasure of the week. What am I talking about? If you're a new listener, every week we take a request from one of you of a song that you love secretly but don't really want to admit it. Well, this week, going out to Steven Overbrook, he wanted to hear Henry Gross's Shannon. And you know, the background on that is Henry Gross was hanging out with the Beach Boys and they were talking about their dogs. And Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys was telling a story about how his dog got hit by a car. Well, that story made Henry Gross a lot of money when he wrote that song, Shannon by Henry Gross. After that, from one of the last Jefferson Airplane albums, Bark, one of my all-time favorite tunes, Lawman. Of course, Grace Slick on those great vocals. New music from the Guess Who. They are coming to the Palace Theater in a blink of an eye. February 2nd, Palace Theater. I will be there. I don't miss the Guess Who. They are one of the best live shows out there. New single is called Across the Line. And their latest album, Plein d'Amour, has done really, really well. Great to see a comeback from an all-time great band. New music from classic artists. That's what Courts in Session is all about. But this next track isn't new. I got yelled at by Tommy in Blonox. He said, EJL, you do not play enough Led Zeppelin. And he demanded that I play something deep. So Tommy, I'm going to make it right. We're going to do it. This is going back to the Presence album. This is a deep cut. Hot's on for nowhere. WRCT 88.3 FM. And keep it tuned right here. We're going to play new music by request from Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees coming up real soon.
No! one. Hi, this is Al Harlow of PRISM with my rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. Courts in session on WRCT 88.3 FM.
You walked away when I was gone. You said I'm looking for something, but it took so long. We got so lost, I let you down. But you came back, baby, before we hit the ground. Yeah.
Something about you. dress so tight. Are your curves in the neon light? Love the way the light shapes your thighs. Get you feeling right sexy to the rhythm of my two-step. I just wanna ride with you, girl. There's something about you. Take you home with me. Brush up against me and I'll come undone. I just wanna ride with you, girl. There's something about you. Make a man wanna you. There's something about you. Make a man wanna.
Thank you. wanna start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Oh baby, I'm grieving. But if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. But then a lot of nice things turn bad out there.
Oh baby, baby, it's a wild world,
and it's hard to get by just upon a smile.
Oh baby, baby, it's a wild world,
and I'll always remember you like a child, girl. Just remember there's a lot of bad, and beware. Don't be there.
Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world,
and it's hard to get by just upon a smile.
Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world,
and I'll always remember you like a child, girl.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, WWRO Kibler, California, 103.3 FM, Time Travel Radio. Part of the Courts in Session family, I'm your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie, and thank you for tuning in. Live, Cat Stevens, Wild World. Before that, new from Dolly Parton. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Dolly Parton, with Sting covering The Police's Every Breath You Take. And the new Dolly Parton album is a 4-record set, and I've been playing something new every week and just really enjoying it. I'm a Dolly fan, but even if you're not, if you like rock and roll, the new album is pretty fantastic. Before that, Trenton Chandler, he is starting to get some requests with his song Something About You. Before that, Al Harlow, from an album that was one of the biggest albums going back a couple years ago now. That was If It Wasn't For You. And we opened up with a request for some Led Zeppelin. Had to get the lead out, and we had to go deep. That was Hots On For Nowhere from the Presence album. So this final half hour of Courts in Session is being brought to you by our friends at Attic Records. So many of the records that I'm playing here on the radio every week, I pick them up at the Attic. They're located in Millvale, and they're open 7 days a week. They sell new and used records and CDs from a range of genres, including rock, doo-wop, metal, reggae, and hip-hop. Attic Records is independently owned and operated, and they purchase new and used records and CDs from collectors in bulk or by unit. located at 513-513 Grand Avenue in Millvale. For more information about selling records or new releases, well, you can give them a call at 412-821-8484 or go to AtticRecordsStoreInc.com. Attic Records, our sponsor for the final part of tonight's show. And again, if you're interested in underwriting for Quartz in Session or any of the great shows here at WRCT, well, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. So at the top of the show, I announced that next week we're going to have Kenny Wayne Shepherd joining us, talking about the new album, talking about coming to the Palace Theater in March. And in 2 weeks, we've got a world premiere from heavy metal legend Thor. I've heard the song, and it is dynamite. I can't do any more than talk about it right now, but in 2 weeks, world premiere. But talking about Thor, let's go back to his last album. You'll remember this song because we couldn't stop playing it because you couldn't stop requesting it. This is Thor with Because We Are Strong.
We ain't gonna take it, baby. We're gonna make it, baby. 'Cause we're strong. There's a trapment in the trees. I can feel it in the breeze. Unfazed, we march forward against the coming clash. Hand-to-hand combat, the revolution now full mass. Come on!
We ain't gonna take it, baby. We're gonna make it, baby. 'Cause we're strong.
Of all that we are. what the people and the game of life.
This is new from Mickey Dolenz. We debuted this last week. This is from his album, Mickey Dolenz Sings R.E.M., Man on the Moon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. Courts in session is now courts adjourned. Thank you so much for joining. If you missed any part of tonight's show, you can catch it again in half an hour. Coming at you out of the West Coast at 1033WWRO.com. You can hear a replay of the show this Sunday night right here on WRCT at 11 p.m. Remember, next week we've got Kenny Wayne Shepherd joining us on Courts in Session, talking about the new album and his upcoming Palace Theater concert in March. It's going to be a great time. Come on back, join me live next Thursday night at 8. I'm your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie, saying, take care of each other, be kind to each other, and be proud to be American. Good night, Pittsburgh.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, our own Marjorie Cohn joins us to discuss a recent case filed in the International Court of Justice alleging that Israel's military campaign in Gaza amounts to genocide.
In its 84-page application, South Africa makes a very well-documented case that Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza.
With your past interview with John Pilger, in memory of his recent passing on December 30th, 2023, John was known by many as a giant in journalism and an inspiration to many journalists, including all of us here at Law and Disorder. Stay with us.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Stephen Smith.
And I'm New York City attorney and activist Heidi Boghossian.
And I'm Maria Hall, Los Angeles civil rights lawyer.
And I am attorney Marjorie Cohn, professor emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law and regular columnist for truthout.org.
Since Hamas killed 1,200 Israelis on October 7th, Israel has launched a full-scale genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. As of this broadcast, Israeli forces have killed at least 22,100 Gazans, about 9,100 of whom are children. At least 57,000 persons have been wounded, and at least 7,000 reported missing. Untold numbers of people are trapped beneath the rubble. Israel has expelled and forcibly displaced more than 85% of Gaza's population from their homes and has cut off their access to food, water, fuel, and electricity. Although the International Criminal Court, or ICC, has been investigating what it refers to as the, quote, situation in the state of Palestine for nearly 3 years, calls for prosecution of Israeli officials have been ignored. This blind eye comes as the chief prosecutor of the ICC demonstrates blatant bias in favor of Israel. The ICC's Rome Statute provides for the prosecution of individuals who commit or aid and abet the commission of genocide. By contrast, the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, or World Court, the judicial arm of the United Nations system, resolves disputes between countries. All the 153 countries that have ratified the 1948 Genocide Convention have a duty to prevent and punish genocide, and they can submit the issue of Israel's genocide to the ICJ. On December 29th, South Africa launched a well-documented case at the ICJ, alleging that Israel's military campaign in Gaza amounts to genocide. South Africa is asking the court to order provisional measures to, quote, protect against further severe and irreparable harm to the rights of the Palestinian people under the Genocide Convention. It also asks the court to, quote, ensure Israel's compliance with its obligations under the Genocide Convention not to engage in genocide and to prevent and punish genocide. A hearing at the ICJ on South Africa's application is scheduled for January 11th and January 12th. Other parties to the Genocide Convention are being approached to join South Africa's petition. Today I interview fellow Law and Disorder co-host Marjorie Cohn, who is Dean of the People's Academy of International Law and is a member of the Bureau of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers. She's professor of law emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law and former president of the National Lawyers Guild. Marjorie has written extensively about the Israeli genocide in Gaza for Truthout. Marjorie, welcome to the interview chair on Law and Disorder.
Thanks for having me, Heidi.
What is the definition of genocide in the Genocide Convention?
It is the commission of any of the following acts when committed with the intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. And those acts can include killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, and imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group.
Can you please summarize the charges that South Africa has made against Israel and the evidence it has cited in its submission to the ICJ?
Well, according to South Africa's application to the ICJ, it alleges acts and omissions by Israel are genocidal in character because they are committed with the requisite specific intent to destroy Palestinians in Gaza as part of the broader Palestinian national, racial, and ethnical group, and the conduct of Israel through its state organs, agents, and other persons and entities acting on its instructions or under its direction, control, or influence in relation to Palestinians in Gaza is in violation of its obligations under the Genocide Convention. Now, the petition, South Africa's petition, lists 8 different sections of evidence, and I'm just going to briefly summarize them to support their petition in the ICJ. First, killing Palestinians in Gaza, 70% of them women and children. And at the time the application was filed by South Africa, the tally was more than 21,110 Palestinians killed, and now it's over 22,000 as we're broadcasting, and including some summary executions. Number 2, causing serious mental and bodily harm to Palestinians in Gaza, including through maiming, psychological trauma, and inhuman and degrading treatment. 3, causing the forced evacuation and displacement of about 85% of Palestinians in Gaza, including children, the elderly and infirm, the sick and the wounded, and causing the large-scale destruction of Palestinian homes, villages, refugee camps, towns, and entire areas in Gaza, precluding the return of a significant proportion of the Palestinian people to their homes. 4, causing widespread hunger, dehydration, and starvation to besieged Palestinians in Gaza by impeding sufficient humanitarian assistance, cutting off water, food, fuel, and electricity, and the destruction of bakeries, mills, agricultural lands, and other methods of production and sustenance. 5, failing to provide and restricting the provision of adequate shelter, clothes, hygiene, or sanitation to Palestinians in Gaza, including the 1.9 million internally displaced people compelled by Israel to live in dangerous situations of squalor, alongside the routine targeting and destruction of places of shelter and the killing and wounding of those sheltering, including women, children, the disabled, and the elderly. 6, failing to provide for or to ensure the provision of the medical needs of Palestinians in Gaza, including needs created by other genocidal acts causing serious bodily harm, and including by directly attacking Palestinian hospitals, ambulances, and other healthcare facilities in Gaza, killing Palestinian doctors, medics, and nurses, including the most qualified medics in Gaza, and destroying and disabling Gaza's medical system. 7, destroying Palestinian life in Gaza by destroying Gaza's universities, schools, courts, public buildings, public records, stores, libraries, churches, mosques, roads, infrastructure, utilities, and other facilities necessary to sustain life, and killing entire family groups, erasing entire oral histories in Gaza, and the killing of prominent and distinguished members of society. 8, imposing measures intended to prevent Palestinian births in Gaza through the reproductive violence inflicted on Palestinian women, newborn babies, infants, and children.
That is mind-boggling indeed. Marjorie, what message does the bringing of this case send in the context of growing international calls for Israel to stop its genocide
against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
Well, as you know, Heidi, millions of people have taken to the streets around the world demanding an end to the genocide. Countries have filed complaints in the International Criminal Court, which, as you said in your introduction, has fallen on deaf ears because of the bias of the prosecutor. And people are mobilizing to urge other parties to the Genocide Convention to join in South Africa's lawsuit. I know we're going to be talking about that. By the way, Israel and the United States are very threatened by South Africa's lawsuit.
Now, what specific provisional measures does South Africa seek from the ICJ?
South Africa is asking the court to order Israel to immediately suspend its military operations in and against Gaza and to cease and desist from killing and causing serious bodily or mental harm to Palestinians or inflicting conditions of life to destroy their group in whole or in part, and to stop these measures to prevent births. South Africa wants the ICJ to order that Israel stop expelling and forcibly displacing Palestinians and depriving them of food, water, fuel, medical supplies and assistance, and humanitarian aid.
Marjorie, what standard does the ICJ use to decide whether to impose provisional measures? Is it necessary for South Africa to prove that all of its charges are true in order to get provisional measures?
No, this is a preliminary stage. Provisional measures are like an injunction. And at this stage, the court is not called upon to determine definitively whether the rights that South Africa seeks to protect actually exist. In other words, the right against genocide. The court only needs to decide whether it's satisfied that the rights asserted by South Africa on the legal merits and for which it is seeking protection are at least plausible.
I understand there's a newly formed international coalition to stop genocide in Palestine that's calling on other countries that have ratified the Genocide Convention to intervene in South Africa's application to the ICJ. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yes, this is a coalition of nearly 250 organizations from around the world, including the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, the National Lawyers Guild, Veterans for Peace, Progressive International, Black Alliance for Peace, Popular Resistance, Code Pink, and there are organizations from the following countries: Colombia, Brazil, Venezuela, Cuba, Ecuador, Spain, Argentina, Paraguay, Haiti, Pakistan, Puerto Rico, Switzerland, Mexico, Chile, and Tunisia. This coalition is urging countries that are parties to the Genocide Convention, in other words, that have not just signed but ratified the Genocide Convention and are therefore bound by the obligations in it, to support South Africa's complaint by filing declarations of intervention. They can be filed before or after the hearing in the ICJ, which is now scheduled to take place on January 11th and 12th.
Marjorie, if other parties to the Genocide Convention do join South Africa's case against Israel, what effect is that likely to have on the ICJ?
Well, declarations of intervention in support of South Africa's invocation of the Genocide Convention against Israel will increase the likelihood that a positive finding of the crime of genocide will be enforced by the United Nations such that actions will be taken to end all acts of genocide and those who are responsible for the acts will be held accountable.
How significant is it that the first country to sue Israel in the ICJ was South Africa?
It's very significant, Heidi. In 1990, Nelson Mandela said that Palestinians like ourselves are fighting for the right of self-determination. And by the way, on December 22nd, the General Assembly passed a resolution supporting the Palestinians' right to self-determination, and the vote was 172 countries in favor, four countries opposed. And of course, the U.S. and Israel were two of those four. The petition that South Africa filed in the ICJ talks about apartheid in South Africa and apartheid in Palestine and draws parallels. They say the institutionalized regime of discriminatory laws, policies, and practices applied by Israel subjects Palestinians to what constitutes an apartheid regime. And they talk about Palestinians in the West Bank being contained behind a segregating wall, subject to discriminatory land zoning and planning policies, punitive and administrative house demolitions. They talk about routine violent Israeli raids on their homes, arbitrary arrests, and indefinitely renewable administrative detention. In other words, internment without trial. They discuss the dual legal system where Palestinians are tried under Israeli military law in Israeli military courts without basic protections of international humanitarian and human rights laws, while Israeli settlers living in the same territory are subject to a different legal regime. They're tried in Israeli civilian courts with full due process. And then the application that South Africa filed in the ICJ lists the three pillars of apartheid in South Africa that are all practiced by Israel in the occupied Palestinian territories. First, the demarcation of the population of South Africa into racial groups with superior rights, privileges, and services being accorded to one group. Second, the segregation of the population into different geographic areas, which were allocated by law to different racial groups, and the restriction of passage by members of any group into the area allocated to the other groups. And third, the imposition of a matrix of draconian security laws and policies employed to suppress any opposition to the regime and to reinforce the system of racial domination by providing for administrative detention, torture, censorship, banning, and assassination.
If the ICJ makes a finding that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, what effect will that have on the investigation that's now pending in the ICC, or the International Criminal Court?
If the ICJ makes a finding that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, that is conclusively proved for the ICC. The ICC, the International Criminal Court, does not have to consider evidence on that issue and decide whether or not Israel's committing genocide. The ICC would only need to decide whom to prosecute. And a finding of genocide in the ICJ will put pressure on the prosecutor of the ICC and perhaps even give him some political cover when the United States, which puts tremendous pressure on the ICC, complains. So it could have a significant effect on charges being brought against Israeli officials and leaders in the ICC, as well as U.S. leaders for aiding and abetting the genocide. And the Center for Constitutional Rights recently filed a lawsuit in federal court in the United States on behalf of Palestinian human rights organizations, Palestinians, and Palestinian Americans against Joe Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin for complicity in genocide and failing to prevent genocide. And that's pending.
Yes, and we're going to continue covering that. Marjorie, as I think our listeners know, Israel customarily rejects international condemnation of its actions in the United Nations. How has Israel reacted to South Africa's submission against it in the ICJ?
Not well. They're very threatened by it. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's spokesperson, Ilan Levy, promised that Israel would contest South Africa's application and called the claim of genocide anti-Semitic and blood libel. Now, blood libel, which was also raised by Israeli Foreign Affairs spokesperson Lior Hayat, is an anti-Semitic allegation that falsely claims that Jews ritually sacrifice Christian children. It's unrelated to Israel being criticized for killing Palestinian citizens. And Levy also said that Hamas is hell-bent on the genocide of the Jews and sacrificing its own civilians for that cause. So here is Israel complaining that Hamas wants genocide of the Jews, which is, you know, astounding. Also, Levy says, Israel emphatically condemns South Africa's decision to play advocate for the devil and to make itself criminally complicit with the perpetrators of the October 7th massacre. Now, keep in mind, Heidi, that in its 84-page application in the ICJ, South Africa does condemn the attacks against civilians by Hamas on October 7th. But here is Israel pulling out the anti-Semitism card, and they have said that they want Alan Dershowitz to represent them at the ICJ. That should be interesting. Alan Dershowitz is a virulently pro-Zionist, anti-Palestinian lawyer who has been associated with Jeffrey Epstein and a number of nefarious things lately, and he doesn't know anything about international law, international human rights or humanitarian law, so we'll see what happens there.
Okay. Marjorie, the first hearing in the ICJ is going to take place on January 11th and 12th, and by the time some of our audience members are listening to this, they may be underway. When can we expect the court to issue a ruling on South Africa's request for provisional measures? And how long do you think the case will last?
Well, an average ICJ case from start to finish can last several years. It was nearly 15 years from when Bosnia first filed a case against Serbia in 1993 to the issuance of a final judgment on the merits in 2007. However, a case can have an immediate impact. The filing of a case in the ICJ sends a strong message to Israel that the international community will not tolerate its actions and seek to hold it accountable. Now, provisional measures can be issued quickly. In the Bosnian case, the ICJ issued them 19 days after the case was initiated, and provisional measures are binding on the party against whom they're ordered, and compliance with them can be monitored by both the ICJ and the Security Council. So the public hearing starts January 11th and 12th. We could see a ruling on provisional measures as soon as a week after, although the ruling on the merits may take several years.
That's heartening. And on that note, what can our listeners do to encourage other parties to the Genocide Convention to sign on to South Africa's genocide case?
There are petitions at Roots Action and Code Pink that people can sign. There are thousands of people who have signed these petitions that shows real support for joining South Africa's case in the ICJ and will not escape attention of other countries which are being approached now to join South Africa's petition or file their own petitions in the ICJ.
Marjorie, thank you so much for this. It's unfolding hopefully rapidly and may signal, I hope, a sea change in some current affairs. How can our listeners follow your work?
Yes, well, I write for truthout.org. And
you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
You live. ever been. Tucked away on Shiner's Mountain, about a mile from Oak Creek Bend. Some say she was born there in the spring of 31.